Good evening. I've learned so many new things about myself that I never knew. I guess I'm just not learning enough Musa reflecting on myself. If I would learn more Musa reflect, I would probably come up with many of the gems that have come up. So while I don't know at nonfiction, but the creativity of the video and the speech were really excellent. May Hashem help I become the person you would like me to become. So we'll take it as a bracha. Before I start, Rabbi Yomin, I want to thank you so much for giving me something so meaningful. I really mean it. I think I don't owe many silver boxes and nesting boxes and menorahs and stuff. I don't really care that much. This is me. This is where we're from. These are our roots. And I couldn't have asked for anything more. I really, really appreciate it. Our rabbis taught us that you start by honoring the host, the venue. I guess in this case, the hosts are, again, Rabbi Sanders, who really puts his neshama at the event, and Mrs. Goldman. It's the first time I've had the pleasure of with them. They work overtime so that both the yeshiva does well and that everyone feels comfortable, and it's something that has been an absolute, despite the hard work, it's been a real pleasure to work with you. I want to thank the Rebbeim and Rabbanim of the yeshiva who worked so hard at this and put the neshama into it, their hearts in it. Like I said before, whether it's creative, wishful thinking, but the neshama's there, the heart's there, and I appreciate every ounce of feeling. And I appreciate the fact that you did not take off one iota of time from the teaching duties in order to create this. I would have noticed had you taken off some time from Seder. This was done surreptitiously and deep, dark hours of the night. And I want to thank you for the heavy work that you put in, the hard work you put in, and you put in. I want to thank Maimon, Avi, for joining us and coming. I've firsthand seen the work he's done there, and it's a nachas ruach for us to see the work he does, the quality, and the way he goes about doing it. I would like to thank the chair people who worked hard, and all the alumni who came in. People came in from so far, San Diego, Cincinnati, Memphis, many other places. Israel. Yes. Tani came in from Israel. Everybody should know Tani from Israel. Knowing Tani probably hitched his way across the ocean. Years have passed since the yeshiva started. 20 years is a generation. Our first grandchild was born the first year that I came, and they did the pick. I had to make a decision about coming back for a bris. And that grandson is today in his first or second year yeshiva dola, depending if you count him, it's American. The yeshiva's first grandchildren are on the cusp of themselves going on to yeshiva dola. So 20 years has been, a generation has passed. And it's a time to reflect and to sum up and to move on to the next level of accomplishment and challenges. The 20 years that have passed having yeshiva dola in town is something that is notoriously difficult to exactly explain what a yeshiva gdola is, unless you've been to one. A yeshiva high school, makes a lot of sense. We know what a high school is, and you need one with a yeshiva program, and that's that. Community needs it, and it's very simple to get a sense of what it is and what it's there for. Yeshiva gdola, not as necessarily giving ordination, and in general, bringing students in from far and wide to come here, we still grapple with getting an exact definition, a description, really, of what it is. we're trying to renew our commitment and our faith in it, strengthen it. And Maimonides writes in his guide that you can't believe in something that you can't describe or picture or give it some sort of conceptual description. So unless we're going to be able to give ourselves a picture of what a yeshiva gdola is, and maybe some sort of definition, it's going to be hard to give ourselves the commitment that we need. And I'm going to try to draw a picture of it and maybe home in on a definition. I'd like to take four events. Studying Talmud is difficult. And when we finish a tome of the Talmud, we make a party, we make a seal. Finishing the entire Talmud is an enormous accomplishment. There were towns in Europe, they would celebrate 7 days when the town, in its learning, in its daily learning session, managed to finish it. So I'd like to pick, and I'd like to remember three or four of those moments of Siyum HaShas in Yeshiva and get a sense of the facets of the Yeshiva, of the different dimensions that the Yeshiva has, because it really is the Yeshiva with so many facets, so many dimensions, and getting a sense of picture of each of those is important to help get us, to give us a grasp of what the Yeshiva is. A year and a half ago, I was in Yerushalayim, and there was a young man there, man in his mid-30s, whose family is a Silver Spring family, the Linzer family. And their youngest son, all their children attended the Yeshiva High School. Their youngest son, Mordechai, attended the Yeshiva High School as the Yeshiva Dola was beginning. I think his junior year was our first year, and then the senior year was our second year. As a prize or as a necessity for his brilliance and diligence, he was allowed in the Yeshiva Dola Shir. Him and Jonathan Spolter, Mrs. Spolter's here, and Jonathan Spolter, they were the two boys that were privileged to be part of that Shir. I would like to think that that year gave him an appetite for the Mira style of learning. And I think he's probably the first one from the Yeshiva High School who went straight to the Mir Yeshiva in 1990, it must have been the 6 or 7, and became a star student. And 15 years later, he was making a Siyum HaShas B'Iyun with all the commentaries and a full depth. The most chashuv scholars, the most important scholars of the Mir Yeshiva were sitting there, a room full, and a Silver Spring boy made a Siyum HaShas. He spoke for an hour, not a sermon, but a learned discourse where he wove together a point based on either a question or a proof from every single volume in Shas. Incredible. Was on Sofik Rabban al-Hakol and Sofik Daraisa, and some of it was incredibly creative, all of it was erudite. And the most prominent Rabbanim were there, arguing vigorously and held his own. And this was one of the first products of the Yeshiva. And I was incredibly proud for myself, for all of you, to be there. And this is the Bikurim, the beginning fruit of the Yeshiva. He subsequently put out extremely, extremely learned volume on an obscure Masechta Me'ilah, incredible. This is Silver Spring. But that wasn't the first Siyum HaShas that I attended. A year and a half before that, one of our first students, I think he came second or third year, a local boy, Rav Daniel Kramer, had been part and parcel of the Yeshiva since he came. And his path was to combine a life of chinuch and studying. and he does extremely well. He has extraordinary talents, and certainly as a chinuch that he uses. He's available for different educational things, and whenever he's not busy, he's sitting and learning. And he finished Shas with his methodical, consistent dedication. And he made a Sima Shas. His wife, also yeshiva graduate, holds on to a full-time job so that he can do that. And what many people don't know is that he's a person who is methodical, consistent. He's made many siyumim on Mishnayos, on Tanakh, on Medrash, Mishneh Berurah, and day in, day out. He's a role model that there's another way to do it. Weaving in chinuch and learning every spare moment and using it efficiently. But that wasn't the first Sima Shas that I attended in yeshiva either. When the yeshiva started, it created a little bit of an environment that people could walk in and was pleasant to learn. In a secular world, a library has to be dead quiet, like a mausoleum almost. It's got to be extremely, extremely quiet. The yeshiva thrives on energy. And people in the community found that here was a place people would be sitting up to late learning. There was a cold Torah, there were sounds of Torah, there were sfarim, tables. It felt right to sit and study. And one of the people who was involved in yeshiva from an early age onwards, who unfortunately can't be here tonight because he's an oval, Mr. Judd Lifshitz, became a regular in yeshiva, learning many, many different things. And the Siyum of the Daf HaYomi happened about 2 years later, and he was extremely taken by it and made it his business to start a Daf HaYomi at Silver Spring. He convinced, lobbied, cajoled, pushed, pulled, and as a lawyer would say, but not restricted to these methods only, and got himself together a group of people, and he began studying. As an aside, is one of our early Talmidim, Rabbi Hess, who now says that he's been for many years already. And he got a great group of people, some who had never studied before, some who hadn't studied many years. Very, very difficult, not easy. Persevered, pulled through, and made not one Sima Shas, but two Sima Shas. And that's another model of a Sima Shas in Silver Spring. I sit in awe and watch at 9 o'clock people come in who've been working very hard all day, really hard. They've done 5, 6, and they're out and they're working and so on. And I see them come in, day out, and it's not easy for them. They push themselves. I know that some of them haven't eaten supper yet when they come sometimes. And they're there, and they're learning. I want to single out one particular picture that stands in front of my eyes when I look at it. I sometimes see Mr. Franco, who is one of the staunchest longtime supporters of the yeshiva, sitting there with his son Sammy, and sometimes Stevie comes in. And sometimes Stephen's son comes when he comes back from New York, he's sitting and learning in front of that row. He's not doing that for Yomi, he's doing his own thing. And I see three generations sitting and learning. And a pasuk flashed in front of my eyes. Banecha kishtilei zeitim. Your children are like aloe blossoms. Saviv l'shulchanecha, around your table. Hine, behold, kichen yevorach gever yirei Hashem. So does God bless people who are God-fearing. That picture of a grandfather and children and grandchildren sitting together and learning is a picture me'ein olam haba. Ashrecha, Mr. Franco, and for many, many healthy, good years, may you merit seeing yourself with your children, grandchildren, and Bezat Hashem soon great-grandchildren sitting huddled together learning.
Amen.
That's a third type of Siyum HaShas. One more Siyum, not a Siyum HaShas, but something that maybe ranks in many ways with a Siyum HaShas, in difficulty, in undertaking, and so on. Many years ago, there was a boy in the Silver Spring area with extremely limited abilities, really extremely limited. He could not really attend school in any meaningful way. He would come sometimes, he worked a bit down in the market, and so on. One of the boys in yeshiva decided he wants to do something for him, on a social level, on a spiritual level, and every level. And on his own initiative, this young man went, engaged the boy, and said, let's make a siyum together. And they learned Pirkei Avos. It required patience of a saint. The boy had anxiety issues, extremely limited ability to process things. And this boy from yeshiva sat with him. Day in, day out. I don't know how long it took, months, maybe over a year, until they finally reached the end. And he coaxed the boy not to be embarrassed, and we made a siyum. He prepared a few words for him to say and helped him with it. And the boy had an extraordinary moment. He needs to live in a sheltered environment. And I think this moment is the moment of his life in terms of accomplishment and the moment of his life in terms of spiritual achievement. And it's not a wonder that the boy's teacher has become an excellent Rebbe and our assistant principal, Rabbi Hess. Those are four siyumim. There's a famous quote from the Gra, from the Vilna Gaon. He says that in the word siyum, the hidden letters and the open letters, so to speak, have the same numerical value. Meaning some languages like English, the ABC has no word associated with it, just ABC. In some, like in Greek, you have alphabet and gamma and so on, you have a word. And in Hebrew, it works out that the four letters, samach, yud, vav, mem, if you count the numerical value of the letter that you're pronouncing, and the hidden letters, they're the same. It's one of the cryptic remarks of the Goyen, and many give it different explanations. I would like to offer the following explanation. To start something is usually a burst of your own enthusiasm. To carry something through to the end requires a lot of support, a lot of backup support, and many hidden players who are there rooting for you and supporting you. This moment is a sort of a seal. We're sort of finishing a 20-year period of generations, so to speak. And we've painted four pictures of four seyumim. I'd like to bring out four hidden partners in this seal. The first was Rav Einama Zichrono Livracha. Rav Einama was the Rav, I'm saying it for the people who are not from the community. He founded Silver Spring for 50 years. He was the backbone, everything that there was in Silver Spring rested on his shoulders. I believe that from the day he came with two congregants and running back and forth, he dreamt of a yeshiva. It couldn't be otherwise, because anyone who had studied in the yeshiva dreamt that a yeshiva would be in the community. He dared not say it, because he was a very, very practical person and knew when things would not work. But I believe it was his hopes and dreams and prayers that's the first silent partner that made, that allowed the yeshiva to happen and gave it its success. The second partner, who I think some of you would wonder why I'm calling him silent, is somebody that he's silent because he carries so much of the burden. Everyone said it couldn't be done, and Rabbi Merkel didn't argue, he just did it. Whether it was getting Bochum, whether finding somebody from Eretz Yisrael to teach here, whether it's finances. For the first few years at yeshiva, we didn't have much staff. He was mashgiach, so to speak. He was he ran the yeshiva together. Almost everything that needed to be done and took place, he did it. And sometimes when somebody is, the Sosharim says, sometimes when things are so apparent, they disappear. He's so much involved in everything that sometimes we forget to think about. And he's the second silent partner for the Siyumim. The third partner. In the years that I was traveling back and forth, 6 years, my family situation did not allow me to bring my kids. They were different ages, and each one would have been a different issue. And as difficult it was, we decided that was the better decision. 6 years, where somebody had to be a father and a mother for 9 children and bear a tremendous emotional strain. It was children, one had just been married, and one was 4 or 5 years old. Different ages, and everything basically was on the silent partner's shoulders. Her silence was not a silence of acquiescence. It wasn't a stoic silence. It was a silence of strength, dignity, and encouragement. And her silence speaks louder than anything else as to why I'm here today. When I was told about the possibility of a yeshiva, everyone expressed a lot of apprehension. You know, it's a different type of community. It's the yarmulkes, this color yarmulke, that color yarmulke, yes hat, no hat, very important issues in life. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, many times before everyone knows what it is to endure long speeches at a dinner like this. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of a smartphone that we can conduct the business while the speech is going on. But before Hashem invented smartphones, I found myself sometimes reading the Y labels. You know, just at some point you run out of dinner books. So I read Y labels. And I noticed something very interesting. You describe a wine and its wonderful notes and overtones and so on and so forth, but the thing that, the quality, the vintner signs at the end with a flourish, and sometimes they inject that, sometimes not, they tell you what brand, you know, what type of wine it is, but the thing that seems to dictate the most, the quality and the flavor of the wine, is the soil that it's grown in. And I won't, you can look at your wine bottles and if you find them and look at salt, sunny, hilly, chilly, whatever it is, that goes into it. But it is like that. The soil and the environment is the greatest, it has the greatest impact on what grows there. I found the community to be the extraordinary place to make a yeshiva. There's intellectual honesty, there's a desire to know truth, there's personal integrity, there's civility, many, many great qualities. And people's lives are centered on values. And people are understated in their material possessions. People really care about important things. And again, whatever shade or hue it takes on, at the end of the day, it's ideal soil for yeshiva. And it is you as a community collectively that this is what it's produced. It's because it's such fertile soil and such ideal soil for yeshiva that we have a yeshiva like this. And the yeshiva products have themselves, the notes and the tones and the flavors of and the nuances that community has. It's not a yeshiva that is divorced from the community. It's not a yeshiva that's isolated. It absorbs some of the best qualities of the community and brings it out in the Futz Hara Talmidim. And we have, I think, over 60 of our alumni who live here, and many more wish they could live here. And it's all because of what they found in the community that resonates so well with them. It resonates with what they taught at yeshiva and the values they picked up. So you are the fourth and the most important silent partner to the yeshiva. We've talked about siyumim a lot. I just think that those are the big windows, the big murals, but there's so much that fills in the spaces between them. On a typical day, Rabbi Reingold comes and opens the yeshiva at 5:30, quarter to 6, and there are people there studying, people who are going to work afterwards. There are people who come in and are able, their schedule allows them to stay there till 9, 10 o'clock. The Rabbanim of the neighborhood come in. Rabbi Walter, Rabbi Frank, Rabbi Rosenbaum comes out in the afternoon. The people who do care work, this is the place they come to get recharged. In the morning you'll find anyone of Rabbi Koretsky, Rabbi Goldstein, all of them. This is the place where they learn. This is the place where they interact with Rebbeim. This is their makom. And that's the morning. At night, we have the Daf Yomi. And we have another Dirshu program at night run by two of our alumni. Two alumni who are extremely successful professionally and very busy. And Rabbi Kotel and Pinchas Werner find the time and dedication, night in, night out, to take turns saying the Dershushir. This is all also part of yeshiva. If I need to pick one moment that gives me the greatest satisfaction, the moment for me that is a snapshot of what yeshiva is, it's the following moment. Shabbos morning, we daven at 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock it's finished, there's a shir in the other room, attended by about 30, 40 people. And then when I finish the shir, I walk into Beis Medrash and I observe in one corner, one of our alumni, Craig Simon, is leading a group of people who have never had much experience learning Gemara, coaxing them to take turns saying the Gemara. In one corner, Rav Ofer Levy is sitting with a group of Sfaradim teaching them. In one corner is the Daf Yomi. In one corner, there's always an emergency shiloh for Rabbi Reingold about a chalom that's too hot, too cold, too much water, not enough water, or something. Hello to the shalom, something the shalom. There's always something happening. There's somebody tugging at the Reingold, desperately trying to figure out what to do. And then there are fathers with children, not an official program, not on a subbanim that comes at night, sitting and learning. Imagine a child who grows up when the nicest day of the week, the holiest day of the week, with the person he cherishes most, sitting and studying Torah together. Chut ha-mesholos lo mehem yonatek. When you have that triple bond of the kedusha of Shabbos and the kedusha of a parent and a teacher and the kedusha of Torah, bonding parents and children, that's extraordinary. If I can think of a moment of nachas, I always stand by the door and look around. And I say to myself, the Gemara says, Kul Alma Maida, that the Torah was given on Shabbos. This is the picture, this is the scene. So let's finish with giving a, we've tried to draw a picture of it. Maybe a definition, something to give it a little bit more so we can define what it is. And Yossi, you'll excuse me, it's gonna be physics again. When you look for sources of energy, you always run into a problem that energy gets depleted very rapidly, so that no source of energy is really good. I mean, some are more efficient, some less efficient. We do have one process that actually gives us more fuel, not more energy, but more fuel when we finish the process than when we started. And it's called a breeder reactor. It's a type of reactor that goes the way it works in the type of material. You end up with more fissionable material at the end than you did at the beginning. That's an incredible thing. It means that you can keep fueling it and fueling it, and each time you stoke it, you get more fuel in the process. A Jewish community stands on three pillars: Torah, Avodah, and Melech HaSadeh. Each one has its own unique features, and each one is irreplaceable. What's unique about Torah is a breeder reactor. It draws people in. A fire of study and learning attracts people. And as people get drawn in, it increases the volume, the energy, everything about it. It becomes much more powerful, and in turn draws more people in, and more people. Students that do well study more and more, and it encourages others to do the same, and others to do the same. The yeshiva is not only the engine of the community, it's a breeder reactor. It has in itself the ability to keep giving a lot more than is put in, exponentially so. And that's the heart of a community. Something that you don't need to keep pumping it, but when it reaches a critical mass, it will keep on burning, drawing in more fuel and more fuel. I want to finish with a tefillah. I'm speaking on behalf of the community, and I'm in name of everyone. When you make a seal, you say, V'yirotzen l'fanech Hashem Elokai, k'shem shazartani l'sayim mesecht zu, k'en tazeini l'hasl mesecht z'far macherim. May it will your God, that just as you have helped me finish this talk, you help me start and finish many more talks. May this be a moment of tefillah of all of us, that just as we finish sort of a 20-year period, a generation of yeshiva, and reach a certain point of accomplishment and success, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the ability to start a new chapter and finish.